You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Longtime friend of the show and longtime college football analyst Gary Danielson is kind enough to join us, and we will get to the draft, I promise, coming up here shortly. But Gary, I don't know if you heard us earlier. Mark kind of asked, hey, you know, what's Gary doing on the show? He normally doesn't come on unless it's during the season. And I said, well, we got into quite the dispute about NHL overtime. And so you're going to the Lightning Panthers game tonight, right?
I am. First game of any sport when I don't work that I've been to since Florida-Oklahoma National Championship. And that was kind of work since the commissioner invited me there. So, I don't go. So, Mark knows this. He belongs to the country club. It's hard to find somebody that wants to go out after 9 o'clock at night around here. You know, so I might have been the 10th pick, 20th pick of a guy to go. You know, I sleep 5 hours every night. The problem is between 9 o'clock and 2 a.m. That's the problem of this thing.
Well, I'm stunned that you're going, Gary.
Mark, I'm still negotiating. And you guys know this negotiating thing. It's easy to negotiate it if you don't need the deal, right? If you don't need the job, hell, you can put down the line and you win a negotiation every time, right? You just don't give in. But I kind of want to go, you know? It was a good game, you know? So I right away threw out the fact, Mark, not staying for overtime. In fact, I'd like to leave 6 minutes left in the third period, but that was a no right away. So no overtime. And they really fight me on this.
Yeah, so it's the playoffs. It's hockey. It's
I get it. And listen, John Benarski, a former NHL player, got the tickets. It's free. It's playoffs. It's a great game. So I countered with, I'll stay if Steve Yzerman shows up for overtime for Tampa Bay to play. And that didn't go. Countered with Stamkos gets hurt and Phil Esposito shows up and puts a uniform on for the overtime.
He'll be there, you know. Espo will be there.
I could see that happening. And that didn't fly. So the last thing I threw out there is if there's a penalty at the end of overtime. That's a pretty good offer, don't you think?
So you mean like at the end of regulation, so the overtime's going to start with the power play?
Yeah, end of regulation, just before overtime. If there's a penalty, I would stay, okay?
Well, as you know, Gary, hockey officials are really, you know, they're used to calling penalties in the final minute of a game, particularly a playoff game.
I know. So that's where we are. But, you know, on the other hand, I'm negotiating. But here's what I got going in my favor. I don't think they can find anybody else to replace me around here. You know, I mean, nobody stays up past 9 o'clock at night, all right? And the other is I'm good conversation in the car, you know, and I think I can drive a hard bargain. So that's where I'm at right now. It's not a done deal, but I don't want to go. You know?
So we're at an impasse as to whether or not you're going to stay if the game goes into overtime.
Oh, I'm not staying. I'm Ubering back if I have to. I mean,
it's like over 100 miles, you know.
Yeah, well, all right. You know, I still have. I might have to work another year. But
I don't know if you can bill that to CBS. I mean, yeah, you might as well send it in, see if they take care of it. I mean, they got a new president now. After all, he might miss it. All right.
I'm still negotiating. All right, what's up?
Well, what'd you think, you know, of the draft? When you were taking in the draft, what interested you?
So my number one thought was the draft was just how big of a deal it was. You know, the way, of course, Detroit showed up. I knew that would happen. You know, they were into it. The Lions are great, you know, and their players are looked on, you know, the way the Tigers and the Red Wings players were, and the Piston players in the day with Isaiah and Lambeer and Rodman. You know, they are at the top of the Detroit fans. So I knew they'd show up. But bigger than that, I just think the NFL should get on their hands and knees and thank this system that's out there that produces 30 to 50 recognizable stars – that people from all around the country want to see where they go if they're going to go to their team. The best minor league system that any pro sport has, and I think right now college football should realize that and go right to the NFL and say, we got to have one more Saturday of football without you jumping into the game. That's the least you can do. We need to grow our game. We need one more Saturday. Come on, Jerry. Come on, you guys, Kraft. We give you stars. You got to give us the opportunity to move our game into the 24, and we need one more weekend. Could they not do that for the free system they have to produce players that can walk right into that locker room and play?
It sounds, in theory, like a really good idea, but the NFL doesn't take a backseat to anybody, and they say no to everybody. I mean, they've taken over Christmas from the NBA. They've completely taken that away. And everything you say, I agree with, but I can't see the NFL. I still can't see the NFL doing it, Gary.
I don't have a Eisen and Esposito card. Or
I was going to say.
My conversation thing ain't going to win.
Right.
Here. I just, man, I would, if I was the college teams, I would just start saying, well, then we're not letting you on campus. I don't know, but they have to negotiate a little bit right here. If you're Sankey Petiti, if you're Fox, you're ESPN, you're big money guys for the NFL, too. Don't you have to walk in there and say, listen, this is good for all of us?
And what Gary's referencing is that right now, when college football wants to start their expanded playoff, their first weekend, the NFL has three games scheduled that Saturday. Almost all of them are on NFL Network. And, you know, obviously the NFL getting in the way of your product. And so that's what Gary is referencing. Obviously, you know, six quarterbacks in the first 12 picks.
Right.
You know, that's the headlines. Just curious, you know, any of them and where they ended up and your thoughts.
You know what I know. What I know about this, and you know, let me try to put it a different way. I mean, this rating quarterbacks and drafting quarterbacks and where you take them, and I think we all realize that in, you know, pro football, you can go with a lot of positions. You can put a lot of patches on your team. You can go out and make a rookie player like Nacua at the Rams with Matt Stafford. You can find players pretty much, you know, not if you have a run at any one position. I get that. You know, three or four injuries in the offensive line, one or two injuries could upend you. But you got to have a quarterback. So the way I look at this is you got to take your best shot no matter when you draft. You know, if you say, oh, I can get this guy at 17 and somebody takes him at 12, you're kicking yourself for a whole year. But it's a little bit, to me, like playing poker or blackjack. You can make all the right decisions. You could hit at the exact right time. You can pass at the exact right time. You can take a card. You can fold. You can do everything exactly right, but the deck can work against you, and you can still lose. So there's no sure thing here. It's just the cost of business. You have to do it. So with that said, the first thing that struck me in the draft was how much of a personality Caleb Williams has, and what a great fit he is. Chicago has to have a guy like, they just don't have that superstar with the Bears since Walter Payton, really, you know, that could just get the fans in touch with it. He walked out there with a demeanor. He just felt like a star when he walked out there. He's got a lot of great parts of his football game. I think if he can learn, like, you know, Mahomes, to create the big plays and limit the bad plays just a bit. It's going to take a while, maybe. But, you know, in the NFL, if you can make three, four big plays in a game and only make one or two bad plays, that might be enough nowadays. So, you know, I had a lot of questions about Caleb Williams going in, but the way he just handled the stage and the aura around him, I came away thinking that this is going to work for the Bears big time.
Do you think
now,
go ahead, Gary.
Go ahead, Mark.
I was going to say, you saw Bo Nix play and Sean Payton likes a rhythm quarterback. Do you think Bo Nix can work for Sean Payton?
I don't know, obviously. The problem I have with this is making decisions too early on a guy. You know, when David and I saw him, he was a young football player, five-star player, playing in a Gus Malzahn offense, and then the transition when the whole thing changed. A lot of things going on there. Not saying anything bad about it, but it's unique. You play a different brand of football. Obviously, it works for Gus, and he does a lot of great things. But sometimes for a quarterback, it doesn't train you to be, you know, the quarterback you want to be in the NFL. So sometimes you get a bit jaded watching a guy play as a freshman and sophomore, forget that he grew up, went to Oregon. You know, there's some guys out there that think, you know, I saw the podcast that think he's a really good player and went broke down his film and I listened to it. And I'll put it this way. He has the frame and the arm, and I believe the discipline and kind of just the upbringing that if there's a way to get it done, he's going to get it done. So I think it's worth the shot for Denver. You know, I mean, is he better than Drake May? I don't know. You know, I mean, I really don't know. But I think if you take it all into account, the hit and miss of the last 10 years of quarterbacking, I don't see how Denver could have passed on him. And athletically, he's got a chance. His arm is fantastic, and he's got a good coach. So now how do they bring him along? That'll be the next phase of it.
Only have about 30 seconds. Do you think the dynamic will work and be okay in Atlanta with the
heir apparent? So I think they've got the two best guys to try to make it work, okay? Both of them have great personalities. They're good human beings. They're family men. I think they understand they don't want to be bigger than the team. Kirk will, I think, bring along and train Penix. I don't love it. Obviously, if I'm Kirk, I don't understand it. I get that. If I'm Penix, I don't love it. I put 6 years of college in. I want to be ready to play more than 3 years from now. It's going to be uncomfortable. But listen, if Kirk Cousins goes down in the first 5-6 games or in year one or year two, boy, everybody should hide what they think about this draft right here about the Atlanta Falcons, because they're going to look pretty dumb about this.
All right, I'll try to get an answer tonight for tomorrow's show. Gary Danielson, will he stick around to the end of the Lightning and Panthers? Never mind if it goes overtime. And oh, by the way, Gary, thanks for the football talk.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
21 minutes past the hour. Miller and Moulton, MillerandMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. Ian Cummings of Pro Football Network. We'll ask him who he liked, who he didn't, in terms of teams and their drafts. Aaron Freeman covers the Falcons. They're the story of the draft, right, Mark?
Absolutely, without question. Taking Penix as early as they did after signing Cousins. It's the one thing we know for sure they got wrong, right, David?
Absolutely, Mark. We'll look back historically, and what a mistake this was. Isn't that right, Aaron Rodgers to the Packers in 05, right? So we'll see. Aaron Freeman covers the Falcons. I just wanted to wet the finger, hold it up in the air, and just have somebody who covers the team tell us how the fan base really feels about this. You know, are they Dan Orlovsky, in which they went to bed Thursday night hating it, woke up Friday and said, you know, I thought about this and there's actually some brilliance to this. Or whether or not the fan base is like, what in the wide world of sports is going on here? So that's coming up next hour. Trent Bally and the play of the day in a handful of minutes.
I did something that I never do. Over the weekend, I couldn't help myself last night. I was watching a game and flipping through my phone and looking at stories and checking scores. Uh-huh. And the app, the score app, which is kind of my go-to for scores. And I looked at their news page and I actually saw it, laughed, and then pressed the article. A 2025 mock draft.
Oh my goodness.
Who has... Who the heck has the time to...
They all do. They're all. It doesn't matter the site. They already have a mock draft for next year out.
I think the way too early top 25s are enough. We don't need to do a mock draft.
Three quarterbacks in the top 12.
Oh.
With the Tampa Bay Buccaneers selecting 12th and taking Quinn Ewers.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. They have the Bucs drafting in the top 12? They've won the division 3 years in a row.
Don't know what to tell you, David. It comes to a crashing halt, according to this particular writer. But Quinn Ewers taken by the Bucs 12th.
Where were the Lions picking? 32?
30th.
Okay, I'd take that. I'd take 30th.
It's losing the NFC Championship.
But it's getting back, which is the hardest thing to do after you break through, is to get back and stay at the top.
But, David, Carolina picking first.
Again?
Again.
Wow.
Tennessee picking second.
Whoa, really?
And taking Carson Beck, saying that the Will Levis experiments comes to a crashing halt as the Georgia quarterback, Carson Beck, goes number two.
Where are the Steelers picking?
They were picking in the teens, but your Giants are picking fourth.
It's entirely possible.
And they take the quarterback from Colorado.
Taking Deion Skid?
Yep.
Shador?
David, you would love that. You would love it. Come on.
Listen, at this rate, I'll take anybody over Daniel Jones. And I do mean anybody. I'm even warming up to the idea of Bo Nix over Daniel Jones.
Come on, it's Danny Dimes.
Stop it, okay? Please.
Danny Dimes.
They already got a Tommy Cutlets. They don't need a Danny Dimes. All right, stop. Okay.
They have a Super Bowl rematch of San Francisco and Kansas City, but this time.
That's lazy. Come on.
But this time, San Francisco has the 32nd pick in the draft.
Hmm. Okay. You know, that is interesting when you think about it. To do way too early draft, you then have to have the teams in the order, so you're also picking how the NFL season is going to go.
Right.
And I think by Vegas odds, that's what they've got. I think the Niners are the favorite and the Chiefs are second. For what it's worth. Not much, but
what I found interesting was the Niners drafted two wide receivers. Didn't trade a wide receiver, but drafted two of them.
Yeah, what happened to the Ayuk Patriots thing? Wasn't that picking up steam and then it just didn't happen?
Lynch and the Niners basically said that once the Thursday night was put to bed, they put the whole trading idea to bed. So apparently that was alive and well Wednesday and Thursday, but then once they went to bed Thursday night, they said, you know what, let's just run it back, even if we end up losing these guys and getting nothing but a compensatory pick down the road.
So they're kind of pulling a Bengals with T. Higgins.
It looks that way with Ayuk. I mean, I guess they could franchise him, but oof, their cap situation as it is right now is a oof.
So they're just going to bet on their chances to make it happen. And if they lose him after winning the Super Bowl, it won't matter because you got the Super Bowl.
You know, whatever you got to do to win the final game, I don't blame them. I don't blame them. Hell, the Bengals have never won the final game. What if you win the title and lose T. Higgins? Seriously, what Bengals fan wouldn't go?
Who cares?
I'll
help them move. Right.
Well, also, at the clip that receivers are hitting nowadays, I mean, just they drafted two of them. They probably got confidence one of those guys can be as good as Ayuk someday.
Well, everybody won the draft except Atlanta.
Right. Darn right, Trent. Of course they have confidence. Remember, did you see how C.J. Stroud reacted to the Niners taking Pearsall from the Gators?
Yeah.
He acted like they had traded his top target. Like, they, you know, they just traded Diggs on him. I mean, he was so upset. So, but Mark, good point. Everybody got everything right except the Falcons. Right. They're idiots. The other 31 teams, a B or better.
Find someone out there that doesn't pick the Falcons 32nd in the draft, not named Dan Orlovsky. That's it. We've got one. Everybody else calls it the worst draft in the history of football.
28 minutes past the hour. Time now for the Molly Maid play of the day. Trent, what do you have?
We saw a series end last night. The Minnesota Timberwolves have swept the big bad Phoenix Suns. Anthony Edwards is an absolute monster. Another 40-point outing. Wolves up too late, and he punched one home over some guy named Kevin Durant.
113 to 111. Ant one-on-one against Bradley Beal. Beats him baseline. Rises and hammers. What a finish by Anthony Edwards. Big-time dunk. 27 points in the second half. And he rocks the rim and oohs and ahs even from the Suns fans here in the building.
Timberwolves win their first playoff series in 20 years. Alan Horton there on the call for the T-Wolves radio network. Yeah, guys, I don't know what to tell you. The Ant-Man is eclipsing the sun. David, that was for you. Minnesota advances. They'll take on the winner of Denver Lakers series. So they look good.
See what he did?
Yeah. Because we know how much they
throwing love. Shade at your granddaughter. See what I did there?
You guys are lit. You're hey, fire.
We're a lot more lit than the Phoenix Suns are.
You are fire. Okay, the two of you. Absolute fire.
It's our Molly made play of the day.
Thank you. I never thought it'd happen.
239-774-5839. Give your spouse the gift of a clean house. You know, that would be a good Mother's Day present. Maid service. That goes well beyond Mother's Day.
We usually talk about winning a holiday or winning a birthday or an anniversary with the Diamond District. You could actually also win with Molly Maid.
You could.
Easily. You could easily win.
15 years I did it. One of the smart things I've done. If you haven't seen the Anthony Edwards dunk, by the way,
it's awesome.
It was, dare I say, it was very Jordan-esque from the wing. It really was. Held it up with the one hand,
yep.
Looking as he's towering down over the 6'11 KD. It was very young Jordan coming in off the wing. It was.
Pulled it back, punched it down.
Pulled it back, yep. Threw it in his face. I know it's you know, you can't say that, but it really was. Miller and Moulton. All right, your team's draft was great. Well, maybe not.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
Twenty-two minutes before the hour. Miller and Moulton. MillerandMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. Thanks so much for being with us. Ian Cummings to join us at the top of the hour.
Top of the hour.
Top of the hour. Aaron Freeman, who covers the Falcons, he will join us 1 hour from now. Well, to give you an idea, Pro Football Network, where Ian Cummings works, and he'll be joining us a little over 20 minutes. Falcons got a D. Everyone else got a B minus or higher. And their grading system, if you will, is very different than other places. Like the Dolphins are getting a lot of applause from many a draft pundit. Pro Football Network gave their draft a B minus, for what it's worth.
Yeah, I have the Athletic team by team in front of me, and they have, obviously, they have the Falcons 32nd. But they weren't high on either any of the Florida teams, for that matter. They had the Bucks. Are the Dolphins the best at 21, I believe. The Bucks at 22.
And the Jags?
Or I'm sorry, the Bucks at 22, the Dolphins at 23, and the Jags at 29.
Pro Football Network, overall grades. Dolphins had the worst grade of the AFC. Along with the Texans, according to Pro Football Network. The A's were the Colts, the Steelers, and three of the four teams in the AFC West, Chiefs, Raiders, and Chargers. Raiders draft I found interesting. You know, Brock Bowers, yeah, but did they need him? They took him, but did they need him? By the way, in the NFC, Mark, four teams got A's. fact, they gave an A-plus to the Bears. And then three more teams in the West, Rams, Seahawks, and Cardinals, according to Pro Football Network, all got A's. Falcons got a D. Packers and Niners both got B minuses. So there, that's the grading system from Pro Football Network. Ian Cummings will join us coming up in a moment. Now, there's a guy that we like, Mark. You know, Warren Sharp, analytical guy. All right, he's one of the first analytic guys a few years ago that you and I said, you know, we can debate, you know, whether people do too much analytics, but man, this guy's info is really good. You know, he backs up what he says with the analytics, and you're like, yeah, okay. So we listen to what Warren Sharp has to say. So he obviously he ranks everybody, you know, 1 through 32. So he has a list, Mark, of teams. He breaks the draft down into Thursday, Friday, and then the whole draft. So he has seven teams who finished in his top 10 in both rounds 1 through 3, and then grading the whole draft rounds 1 through 7.
All right.
So the seven teams are Vikings, Lions, Steelers, Chiefs, Eagles, Saints, Ravens. So seven teams had top 10 drafts, but also top 10 first 2 days. All right. He has four teams who were bottom 10 in both rounds 1 through 3 and rounds 1 through 7. The four teams: Falcons, Patriots, Cardinals, Niners.
Doesn't bode well if you're a Patriot fan, because it's one thing, you know, one thing with the Falcons picking a quarterback when they already have one. But the Patriots are a team that's going to, if that's true, they're going to be drafting in that same position again next year.
Now, obviously, there were seven teams bottom 10. I didn't scroll up high enough. So Falcons, Patriots, Cardinals, Niners, joined by Panthers, Jags, and Packers. And what I find interesting here is that the Cardinals and Packers are on the list because they both entered the draft with 11 picks. I actually think Green Bay got some very solid players. There were two times, though, in which, and I'm not a Packers fan. I don't dislike them. I don't dislike anybody. But I found myself yelling at the TV, Mark, both Thursday and Friday, about Green Bay, if you will, in which I'm like, hey, hold on a second. You can't get outmaneuvered. You got too many picks. You don't need all these picks. You're a playoff team with the youngest roster in the league to begin with. You can't get outmaneuvered for guys. And I felt that they needed a corner and more help in the secondary. They get outmaneuvered by the Lions, who draft that go ahead of them for Terrion Arnold. Okay, move one spot ahead of them, boom, in the first round. Well, come on, man. You can't do that. You can't allow that to happen. They need a corner. They've been linked to a corner for 2 months. And then in the second round, Mark, they're sitting there at pick 41. And Cooper DeJean. It's DeJean, right? It's not DeJean. It's DeJean, right?
I believe that's right.
So DeJean is still on the board, 33, 34. And you're getting to like 38, 39. And you're like, well, come on, Green Bay, go get them. And they sit back. And what happens? Philly trades ahead of them at 40 to take them. Now, they got the linebacker from A&M. He's a solid player. Okay, but come on now.
But DeJean's a return guy. We have a league that's, I mean, not only is a D-back, he's a return guy. We're heading into a league where returns are going to be important again.
And it's the guy you were linked to at 25. How can you get outmaneuvered for him essentially twice, if you will? You could get him at 41. All you have to do is, what, give up one of your 6th round picks or something to move up to 39? Come on, you can't get outmaneuvered by the Eagles. So if I'm a Packers fan, like, that's the stuff that drives me crazy.
I find it interesting, David. Two of the teams you had in your bottom 10 are in the top 10 in the Athletics. The Cardinals, who the Athletic has as the fifth best draft, you had them in the bottom 10.
Well, according to Warren
Sharp. According to Warren Sharp.
His analytics, he's got them one of the seven worst drafts, you know, of the league.
And the Patriots, this one has ranked eighth.
Best.
Eighth best, for what
right.
it's worth.
And Warren Sharp has them one of the seven worst.
Just found that to, you know.
Right. That's the beauty of the draft, right?
Dane Brugler, who does the draft work for the Athletic. He has the Bears one. He has the Steelers two. The Lions three. The Eagles four. Cardinals five. The LA Chargers six. Your Giants seven, David. Patriots eight. The Commanders nine. And the Dallas Cowboys 10.
A team that's not getting a lot of love from people whose draft I really like. I like the Rams draft. Now, I'm not saying I like it as the best draft in the league. I did really like the Steelers draft. And Miller and Moulton were both laughing from afar. We both, you know, texted each other. The only text over the weekend, I believe, was us laughing. What did the Steelers do? Second or third round, they take a wide receiver. Never take them in the – since they drafted Lynn Swann, I swear, I don't know if they drafted a wide receiver in the first round. They don't have to because they'll draft someone on Friday and make a star out of them. And sure enough, third round, who do they take? The kid from Michigan. Well, there you go. Get them in your fantasy leagues. Maybe not this year, but if you have a, if you could stash him, get him. Because if he's a third-round pick of the Steelers, he's going to get paid 4 years down the road.
Probably not by the Steelers, but he'll get paid 4 years right. down the road.
You got it. They can draft and develop wide receivers. And I'll give them credit, Mark. They keep draft an offensive lineman.
Right.
They keep admitting, hey, yep, we keep getting it wrong, so we're going to keep drafting them until we get it right.
But they got the tackle from Washington who's going to go inside more than likely and maybe play guard, could play both. They got the kid from West Virginia who I know you liked a lot, that Frazier kid.
Yes.
And then they get Wilson with one of their third-round picks. Also got a kid out of South Dakota State, a guard that people think could be a day three steal for what it's worth for the Steelers.
Now I'm curious, you have the Athletics top 10?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see how many of the same teams. This is Warren Sharp's best value draft classes. All right. Lions.
Lions Dolphins. On this one are three.
Okay. Lions one. This is value.
Okay.
So you know, your guy's rating the draft class as a whole. Warren Sharp is taking value based on how many picks you had, where you had them. He thinks the Lions front office did the best job. He thinks the Dolphins were second. Chiefs, Steelers, Eagles, Saints, Ravens, Broncos, Vikings, Rams. In terms of best value drafts. Obviously, everybody has their own system and opinion, and front offices do too, and fans do, and that's why it's a great event. Did you see how many people watched Thursday, by the way? Those numbers came in after we were off the air Friday. Came in like right before round two started. Whew. Over 12 million watched the draft. Okay, of all the things we've been wrong about, and we've been doing this nearly 20 years. So, I mean, the list is long. The list is taller than Trent is tall. I mean, it's a long list. Have we been more wrong about anything than them moving the draft from Saturday afternoon to prime time and our take on it?
It is. And it wasn't just your take.
No. Oh, no. Oh, no, it was ours.
It wasn't just my take.
No, right. No, we had a third person.
And we had a third person. And there wasn't one of the three of us.
No.
Who even blinked at the other two in saying this was a terrible idea. And we doubled and tripled down.
We were one of those wrestling matches in which would come off the top rope or in the NFL, get up, tag you. You would come off the top rope on the NFL. And our producer was the manager. And he decided, can I get in on the act?
Right, and he busted a chair. Right.
Right, exactly. Gave him a chair. He came through the ropes. Boom. Right. And we took the referee out who was trying to defend the NFL. Absolutely. Bodies all over the canvas. Right.
Idiots.
Morons.
Must say, you know, upon further review, Detroit looked great. Had to be with us on Thursday night to understand the full complexity of that. But
listen, I'll say the one thing I will say, for as much as, you know, Thursday night we mocked it because that's all anybody could say. Man, when you when 200,000 people are showing up on Saturday for rounds 4 through 7, I got to admit, you do have to tip your cap if you're that many people are showing up for rounds 4 through 7. That's okay. All right. You guys, you delivered. You're now the new standard. We'll give you that. Nashville and Vegas, probably more fun, although the casinos are right there in Detroit.
Yes, they are.
Okay. All right.
A few Coney dogs were served out of Lafayette Coney Island over the weekend, too, I imagine.
So, but yeah, that's, we've never been more wrong about anything. To give you an idea, 12.1 or 12.3, I think, was the figure for Thursday night. Yeah, that there were only two regular season college football games that had more people watching it than that. That was the SEC title game and Ohio State, Michigan. Otherwise, the first round of the draft outrated every single college football thing before the playoff. It outrated every World Series game, every Stanley Cup game. The only NBA game that did better than the first round of the NFL draft was game 5 of the Heat Nuggets. Usually a title clinching game is pretty highly rated. The casual fan goes, oh, let me watch them win a title. And so that one barely beat the draft. Mm-hmm. Right. Moving the draft from noon on Saturday to prime time and then prime time again on Friday. What idiots. Ruining the draft. How could they ruin such a good thing?
Damn them.
Wow. Now, you know what? Come to think of it, now I understand why we've been fired as often as we
have. Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, just keep bringing that up to bring self-esteem right down to the toilet.
Whoo-wee. We had Gary Danielson on the show at the top of the hour. He did say that to me yesterday when we were talking. He goes, have you guys ever been more wrong? I go, seriously? I go, you have to bring that up? He goes, well, you know, just keeping you in check, because I was killing him about his hockey overtime take.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
No, that's what I tried to tell him. So the draft has come and gone, although our opinions of it, they will last for years. Ian Cummings, he did all that draft prep. And now that it's over, we'll ask him how everyone did.